Take it to the book of Luke, if you would, as we turn to chapter 15 in the book of Luke, chapter 15. In Luke chapter 15. And I really would appreciate it if you would stand with me at this point as we do read the scriptures. And we'll look at Luke chapter 15. The Bible says in verse 11, this is where we're going to start, that he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a country, to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.'" Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God, for the power of your Spirit that would speak to us. And I would ask, Lord, that you would do a great work. I stand between you and these dear folks as the messenger for this moment. People have prayed. For this moment, people have called upon you to speak through these lips of clay. And I thank you for the privilege of being able to stand here and be able to voice that which you have placed upon my heart. And I ask that you would be lifted up and glorified. Speak through me, I pray, with all authority, Lord, that you have vested within me. For it truly is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you be seated then? We see here a story that you're familiar with, and that's okay. And that's the way it should be. You ought to be familiar with it. But I'd like to challenge you to ask God every once in a while to help you to slow down long enough to get what you don't really get at regular Bible reading speed. In other words, slow down to find out the treasures, the beauty along the journey. There's so much here, even in this passage of Scripture, that you can get in your heart, your life, and it's so important for you to apply what thus saith the Lord. We have a man, we have a young man. We have two men in this case. Two men in the initial case, so there are three total. But in this case, we have two men. We have a son and we have a father. The son has his own mind. The father is going to do what he feels is best. He's going to give to the younger son his request. Well, as we understand what Scripture is saying here, this young man takes all the wealth that he's inherited and he takes it off into a faraway country. Well, that faraway country probably has lights all over the place. I mean, you can almost envision it as looking at Omaha at night. I mean, it's a big, beautiful place, and I doubt if it had neon signs, but use your imagination. It was something that was attracted to him. He was literally taken up with the faraway country. And it had to be better than where he was living, at his father's house, where there are servants. And he got to live there every single day of his life. And he just kept seeing the same old things and hearing the same old voices and hearing his father give wisdom that he'd heard before, and he was tired. Tired of that old life, that young fella. That old life that just keeps getting on and on and on. And so often we hear now discover that this young man had a wayward spirit with him. Have you ever met anybody with a wayward spirit? A wayward spirit. Wow. Have you ever asked yourself how much you are following the Lord and how much of you is not following God? And we would do well to look into our heart and say, how much of me is following God? And how much does God want of us? 100%, amen? Absolutely all that there is. Whatsoever do, do it heartily. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. That's His will. That's His command. That's what God wants of us. This young man takes his heart, and then he goes and spends all of his money, all of his substance on a riotous living. And why is that? Well, he has left wisdom and he's going to live foolishness. He's going to live a foolish life. He is going to spend everything. Just throw it all away. Now, he understands that he really is not doing right. But does that matter to him? Come to the place in our life when so often we begin to discover that in our flesh, that is inside us, there's this, sometimes this need to rebel against that which is the right thing to do. There's this rebel that's inside me. We have this thing called pride that somehow rides in our life, pride that leads us in places we don't have any business being. And God tells us that we are to have an humbled heart before Him. Humble yourself before God. He resists the proud, you see. How many of us could even come to church with a heart that's proud? A heart that says, you know, I'm going to do what the Lord asked me to, up to a certain point. And beyond that, I'm not willing. You know, there's a possibility, there's a rebel somewhere in most of us here tonight, somebody who refuses to do all that God requires, somebody who literally backs off when God says, go forward, and we just simply say, whoa, I'm not getting that involved, I'm not going there, I'm not going to be yielded in that fashion and submitted to His will. Not at all, not in any way, shape, or form. And so, look, we have to have this mindset and heart, and I'm pretty sure I shared this illustration with you before, and I need to share it one time because it's so fitting, about this young lady who is running from God. Have you ever met anybody that's running from God? Have you ever shaken the hand of an individual that's running from the Lord? I mean, what does it feel like to shake the hand of a backsliding Christian? Well, that's an interesting question, isn't it? Have you ever met a backsliding Christian? Did you know you could have possibly shaken the hand of a backsliding Christian without even knowing it? That's why you need to be a caring individual, somebody who carries a smile, because you might be smiling at somebody who needs a smile. We get an opportunity to minister to people. We get an opportunity to show mercy, if you will. An opportunity to show the power of forgiveness. Wow. Even we can display the power of forgiveness. Why? Because there's a great chance somebody out there needs to be forgiven. They need to be forgiven. Here's a young man. Here's a wayward man. And somebody one time had titled a message fitting to this, had said, it's a good thing that the father didn't sell the farm, because the young man has a place to go back to. Wow, isn't that special? So this young lady, she was running from God. God was calling her, at least in her mind, God was calling her to be a missionary. Well, she didn't want to be no missionary, because surely God was going to call her and put her right in the heart of Africa, where there's snakes and bugs and creepy crawling things. She didn't want to go to no place like that. And so she absolutely ran. She just did not yield. She did not submit until finally God got a hold of her at a Bible youth camp. Now, this is not a story I read. This is what I heard sitting in the pew like you are. She was standing up here behind the pulpit and she was giving a testimony as young people do when they go to Bible camps. And she said it with her lips. I heard it with my ears. And she said, God got a hold of me in that meeting and I had nowhere to run. So I came. I bowed and I said, okay, Lord, I will be a missionary. I'll be a missionary. And God said to her, as is the testimony of her own lips, He said to her, I didn't call you to be a missionary. I just want you to be willing to be a missionary. How many of you are willing to be a missionary? If God should call you to be a missionary, what immediate response comes to your mind? Oh, no way, not me, no way at all. I wouldn't be a missionary. If somebody paid me $1 million. Oh, there's that rebel in you. Huh? I mean, could God make a missionary out of you? I mean, I understand it'd be a miracle, right? But does God make miracles happen? Absolutely, He could make a mission. Which means to say that we all, every one of us, ought to be willing to be a missionary if God should call us. And there are some people out there that said that don't look at age as being the restriction. Now that's amazing. What could God do with you? I mean, has God given you something that you need to give to somebody else? Well, I like that sign that we see posted above so many church doors. You are now entering the mission field. Right? We stand, we walk out behind these walls, and now we're a missionary. We're out there reaching, we're out there living, we're out there dwelling amongst the heathen. People who are going to die and go to hell if they don't get saved. Have you ever shaken the hand of an individual who's going to live in hell the next moment if they die in that state of heart? Isn't that kind of a scary feeling to be able to converse with people who, if they die at that moment, will wake up in a burning hell? Wow. What would happen? I mean, here we have this concern where there is no vision. The people, why? Well, because if we don't care, then we're not going to get the mission. We're not going to get the message to them. We're not going to get the message. So the Lord's impressed me to share a couple of people or several people how they view God. Not everybody sees God the same way. Not everybody sees God the same way. For instance, the rebel. How does the rebel see God? They see God as someone who's strict. Rules, 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 rules. I know some people who won't go to certain Bible colleges because of rules, 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 rules. Is this a book of rules? Thou shalt not. Huh? All the thou shalt nots. Now, how would you like, wouldn't you like to have it as easy as Adam and Eve did? One rule. Huh? Just one rule. Thou shalt not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Just one rule. And yet, they broke it. Some of you might sit there and say, well, preacher, I'd like to have a shot at that thing. I'd like to be able to just simply say, I'm not going to do it, you old sly snake, you. Oh, but we'd fall too, wouldn't we? That's us. That's who it is we are. That's our nature. This rebel. It's amazing you could put two rebels in one big crowd and eventually they'll find one another. They'll find one another. Those who want to rebel against the system, those who want to just simply say no and just refuse and not come to and not comply. And what happened to the person who was saying, yes, Lord, I'll do whatever you ask? And I'm talking to the Sunday night crowd, the ones who are faithful in the house of God. But could there be somebody here who hasn't yet given all that God would require of you? There are some things you yet need to yield and submit to God, but that rebel in you won't allow it. Could you imagine you rebelling against the Lord? Well, if you can't say yes to God in all things, we have come to the place when we are presently rebelling against the Lord. So it comes to a place in our life when, yes, we have seen a rebel. We saw him in the mirror one time. Absolutely. We see him as a God who is strict. He's a God who is saying, thus saith the Lord. He's a God who is one that just simply demands from us a holy life and a holy living. This is what he said. Be ye holy. That we are to live godly in this present world. How many of you are living godly in this present world? You just have to know that this man who disobeyed his father, disobeyed his heavenly father, this young man who went his way, did his thing. And you know, that's not stopped a lot of people. Seems like it's a well-traveled road. Well, I'd like to give that road a shot. I think I can do better than that prodigal son. I think I can. I think I can. And so I'll give it a shot. And you come out the same way. It's like one man said, we learn from history that we don't learn from history. We just keep repeating. We just keep repeating. That's kind of humbling, don't you think? We just keep making the same mistakes and we hope that the results will be different this time, but they never are. They never are. And so, brother and sister, as I would share this with you, here's this rebel. He sees God as somebody who is filled with rules and is strict. Now I'd like to share with you how the worry wart. You ever meet a worry wart? Somebody who's always worrying? How many of you already have a face come to mind? Well, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, yep. Now all of a sudden, and some of you maybe are looking across the auditorium, that's you! Aha! Worry, worry, worry. Well, How does a worrywart see God? Well, they see Him as a God who can't supply all our needs. I mean, can God supply all our needs? Amen? Prove it. Prove it. Rest in the promise that God has given to you. Literally, just simply say, God's got this in control. He's taking care of things. I'm okay. I'm just fine. I'm all right. I'm dandy. The Lord's taking care of me. Amen and amen and praise the Lord. But the fact of the matter is that as a child of God, we need to look to the Lord, put our faith in Him and trust Him and not worry. It's like I shared that verse one time before. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not... Well, the real word is want, right? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not worry. I will not worry. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not... I will not worry. I'm not going to worry. No way. I'm not going to worry. The Lord's my shepherd. Oh, I am okay, Lord. I'm going to do fine. I'm not worrying. I'm just not worrying. I won't worry at all. The Lord is my shepherd. You see, you got to talk to yourself. Otherwise, you get overcome with yourself. And you find yourself, I believe in God, but I'm worrying. I believe in God, but I'm worrying. It's like that man over there who said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Huh? I mean, we believe that God can take care of everybody here, right? Except us. And that's truth. That's the truth of the matter. That's exactly the way it comes out. What about this person who's depressed? You ever met anybody like that? Somebody once said, depression is anger without enthusiasm. Think about that. Anger without enthusiasm. How does a depressed person see God? Well, they see God as somebody who God doesn't care for. See Him as a God who doesn't care about their needs. Well, He doesn't watch over me and He lets these things happen to me and all these things fall in my life and He doesn't love me because all these things are closing in on me and they're piling in. He doesn't care. Depression. That's a big deal. Do you realize how many people are getting rich off of depression? Well, here's a pill. That'll fix it. God's not surprised at depression. This young man, he obviously must have gotten depressed. I mean, he's eating with the pigs. He's so hungry. He doesn't have anything to eat, and those pigs are just slopping it in, and oh, they're just grunting and making all kinds of noises. Boy, they're looking like they're having a great time eating that food. I can't stand it. And he found himself eating with the pigs. That's when the Bible says he came to himself. He came to himself. And when he came to himself, he had a heart change. He said, with an humbled spirit, He said, I will arise and go to my Father, and will say unto Him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before Thee, and am no more worthy to be called Thy Son. Make me as one of Thy hired servants. Make me as one of Thy hired servants. Don't you admire this spirit, this attitude? Wouldn't you like to meet a man like this now, whose heart has been broken, whose heart has been changed because he's been humbled and God let him go and humble himself, which is what God does with us when we get too proud in our pride of life and we strut about and we say we don't really need God in everything. That's why we don't need to sell the farm. because we need to be aware of the fact that the wayward son is coming back. Notice, in verse 20, "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father what?" When he was a great way off, why did his father see him? Because he was looking for him. Huh? Because he was looking for him. He knew that he'd be coming back. Why? Because every day his father would be praying for him. "Lord, restore my son. Bring him back." If you know a wayward person out there, and I suspect that a number of you know a few people out there that are out there running from God. Some of you maybe have given up praying for them. They'll never come back. Why, that'd be a miracle. Why, that'd be a change in their life. Wow. Hey, don't quit praying. Does God answer prayer? Question is, does He answer your prayer? Would He answer your prayer if you prayed for so-and-so to get their heart right and come back to the Lord? Would He answer your prayer? If you quit praying, then you come to the conclusion He won't answer your prayer. So when do you stop praying for them? When they come back. Amen? That's when you stop. Well, you keep praying for them while they're here. But the fact is, you don't give up on them. You just keep praying for them. You keep them before the Lord. Keep praying, keep praying, keep calling on God. I mean, that's what He wants. And we're just kind of turned the page here. Go to chapter 18, and we're going to come back to where we're at here. But look at chapter 18. Watch this now. "And He spake a parable." This is verse 1. "He spake a parable unto them, to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." Don't you quit praying. "Saying, there was in the city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find a faith on the earth?" God said, He said, I probably didn't answer you last week. Probably didn't answer you yesterday. One of these times I will answer your prayer. He has a purpose for how He answers. He says, don't quit praying. Don't sell the farm. Don't make it to where there's nowhere to return for the wayward child. Always keep it open to those who finally see the light. For they are a soul which Jesus died for. They are a soul that Jesus loves. And really, the beauty of this story here in Luke 16 or 15 is the Heavenly Father. This Father who prayed for him. He saw him while he was a great way off, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. He couldn't wait for his wayward son to come home. He ran out there and met him. There was rejoicing. There was rejoicing. And the Son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the Father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us be merry, for this my son was dead. Well, that's the truth, huh? You know anybody wayward person out there that's dead? I'm talking about spiritually. There's no spiritual life or vibrance in him whatsoever. They're dead. Now he's alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Don't you rejoice and happy with the idea that some people do come back? They do return. But how many of us throw a party for them when they do? I think maybe we've already got an example that we probably should too. That really it's a bigger deal than what we sometimes make of it. Well, you better walk right now. You just better watch your P's and Q's. No, be happy they come back. There's power in love. And who is it that should be guilty of love? Oh, that's an easy one to answer. That's the child of God, amen? That's us. We should be guilty of loving our brother. Yes, even the backslidden one. Yes. Even the wayward one. Yes, even the one who's searching and sometimes doesn't know they're searching. But you in your wisdom would pray for them. Pray for them. Oh, here's another fella. Here's a guy who sees God. This guy's mad. You ever meet a mad guy? Always angry. You ever meet somebody like that? Every time you turn around, they're always... I mean, they're spitting nails here, and they're spitting nails there, and they're complaining here, and complaining there. And you know how this guy sees God? He sees God as a God who isn't fair. He's not treating me like everybody else. It's not fair. How many times have you said that? It's not fair. It's not fair. And yet those people are out there. They're here, they're there, they're wherever. They're all over the place. We need to be encouraging to them, to show them love, to let them know that God is using us to be a blessing to them, praying for them, just simply knowing that they struggle, they have issues, they have problems in their life. I remember we went and visited this person knocking on their door in Springfield, Missouri back in the early 70s. And we came to this door and I don't know why she let us in, but then I know why she let us in. She wanted to unload on us. I never met her in all our life. I mean, we sat down there, we started talking about the Lord, and then she just went crazy. She said, I don't know why God says that He's a God of love, when He allowed my son to be shot to death 2 weeks ago in my backyard. She wasn't saved. She didn't belong to God. She didn't go to no church. But she knew that God says He's a God of love. How could a God of love allow that to happen? Wow. Can I safely say she didn't get saved that night? We were just happy to be able to get out of there in one piece. Somebody's got a burr under their saddle somehow. Somebody's got something that's been done wrong to them unjustly, and they carry it with them wherever they go. And they're unhappy. We need to find a way to release and let it come to the Lord like it needs to. Like God wants to give you the peace that passes all understanding, the joy that helps you to be everything you need to be in your heart, your life, and soul. You can do this. This prodigal, he literally came back to his father. He came back with his senses, and now he can see. Isn't it amazing the miracle that God can do in a person's life when God opens their eyes and they're willing to literally follow the Lord? Then there's this other person who's indifferent. What does an indifferent person see God as? He sees Him as a God that he does not fear. Like I shared with you a little while ago, somebody who doesn't fear God. He can take church or leave it. So many people come to church with this volunteer attitude that says, you know, I don't really have to be here. I could have stayed home. I don't really have to be here. And yet, that's coming from somebody who hasn't read the whole Word of God or believed everything that it says. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. We need to be in church. It's a command. It's a directive of the Word of God. We need to be in the house of the Lord. So you can't have this volunteer spirit that says, well, I would get in there and help out, but, I can't see me getting in there and doing this and doing that. I just heard somebody pray tonight, Lord, make some folks willing to be used and to serve in our church. What would happen if God got a hold of your heart and wanted to use you to serve in your church? How many of us are servants? Servants, serving the Lord. And so this other person, this last one, it's about the one with the broken spirit, the one who's humbled. That's that young man who came back. He knew where he belonged. He knew where he needed to be. And I'm saying to you, in every one of us, remember that verse over there in Jeremiah 17:9, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's the heart. That's that thing that beats inside us. How many of us know well within our heart that we are holding out on God in some way, some form, some fashion? How many of us are holding out on God? How many of us are holding out? Yes, that rebel in me. That's that word rebel. I'll not go, Lord. I'll not do. I can't see me doing that. Don't expect me to. Well, God commands you to. Therefore, He expects you to be there. Can I ask you, just what will you do with the Word of God, with the call of God in your life? Because we are all called. We are. Some of us, we have a sneaky suspicion He's calling us. I figured if I look a little closer in the Bible and if I maybe come to church a little bit more often and listen a little bit closer, God's probably calling me into some kind of service for Him. And I don't want to go there. So when I go to church, I listen with one ear, I read the Bible with one eye, and I just simply close my heart and say, you're not going there, heart. You're not going to submit. You're not going to yield. Oh, don't you do that. Don't you get committed or involved. It's that rebel in me. Do you fit with this message tonight? Somehow, in some way, shape, or form, we can rebel silently, quietly. The Lord warns us against a hard heart. Harden not your heart as in the day of provocation. Today is the day that we need to heed what thus saith the Lord. So, brother and sister, hey, I live in a heart just like yours. That's how come I can speak the language. I know what it is to deal with the flesh who doesn't want to give itself totally to the Lord. So tonight, you're given an opportunity. Would you take advantage of it? Would you call unto the Lord? Yield and submit to God. Let Him work in your life, bring you the joy and the peace that you need. Would you do that even now?